For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Even for the average believer, spirit-filled, tongues-talking believer, to obey the Word of God. Well, I'm baptized in the Holy Ghost, and I speak in tongues, and oh my, and I, boy, lightning is shooting out from my hands at times, and oh, you know, that doesn't make you more holy. Is that God is looking for something to happen within you. The Word of God says in John 10:10, I've come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. And always think, well, that's in the sweet bye-bye. You know, when I get to heaven, well, man, I'm going to walk on those streets of gold, and there's going to be angels up there playing on their harps, and I'll just flit around from cloud to cloud, and oh, you know. And so we have an image of heaven. And so then we this is what we carry around with us. We have an image of what heaven is going to be like. Unless some of you have been to heaven and back, I don't think many of us know, or any of us know, what heaven is really like. Because it's not fully revealed to us in the Scriptures what heaven is like. So we're operating on misconceptions. And then we want to project these misconceptions to others. And for us to believe these misconceptions. And misconception leads to deception. And this is what God does not want us to get on into. But now, God says that He wants us to enjoy life, have that abundant life. And I have not fully enjoyed the life that God has intended for me because of my disobedience. But things are changing. And who does God start with? It starts with the leaders, doesn't it? It starts in the house of God. It starts where those that have responsibility. It starts with those that have some authority. It starts with us. You're the shrink wrap. I'll never forget this. And the heat is going to be on you. You can become more transparent. This last year, I came up here fleeing because something had to be done. Darkness in my life. The shrink wrap going to work. Are you with me?
Amen.
My life is not now according to His plan. It's getting more and more to it. The Lord sent us from Anchorage, Alaska, down to Texas to do a particular ministry. And we got there, and I couldn't understand why God sent us to Arlington or to Dallas-Fort Worth area. And so I really asked the Lord, and it came to me through another brother, and he said, God has you here because you have something to add to the body of Christ. Add to. Well, I thought, well, maybe another church, we're going to be the church in the Metroplex. And, you know, we started going off on a tangent that God never intended us to go. And, you know, you can start off right. You're right in the dead center of God's will when you begin to do something. But if we are not lined up with the perfect will of God, we begin to deviate. And we go off into a direction that He never intended us to go. Now, the blessings will be there. You'll see some success. You'll see a lot of things. But you'll not be in the full will of God. And that will work on us. We will know after a period of time that we have missed the mark. Well, we labored for 10 years and finally discovered we missed the mark. Boy, how long it takes to sink in. You missed the mark. Okay, Lord, now we're going to hit the mark. And so this is the process that we're in. Okay? All right. See, we have good news here. The good news is that we can change.
Amen.
But you know, along with the good news, there's some not so good news. Is that there's a war going on, isn't there?
Yes.
And we're contending with that fallen Adam image, and we're also struggling to put on the whole armor of God, put in taking on the image of Christ. And so there is that war that's going on. But listen, God has given us the power to change. He's given us that power to become. And you don't need to turn there, but I refer back to the book of Daniel. And beginning with Daniel chapter 1, and yes, chapters 1 through 3, is that it speaks about the capture and training of Daniel, you know, and the three others, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and that here they were, you know, there were four young men from Judah. You know, they were trained in the ways of God. They were trained in that right way. And that, but Babylon came and overtook them. And, you know, they looked in the land and they saw all these choice young men. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they hauled them back to Babylon. And Nebuchadnezzar had a purpose. He was taking the choice and was going to retrain them into his likeness and into his image. Are you with me? Now, and so Nebuchadnezzar just went out and captured those guys. And after he captured them, well, then he began to train them. But somewhere along the way, the king had a dream. And I'll not go into the dream. But the king, Nebuchadnezzar, who had the dream, the spiritual dream that came from God, could not interpret the dream. And so he got all of his wise men, and the wise men were not able. They were afraid to interpret the dream because they knew if they did it wrong or weren't really able to, well, they were going to be killed. But is that here comes Daniel, and that Daniel tells the king what the dream is, and then he also confronts the king. Isn't that something? Here's Daniel that interpreted the dream for the king, but then he also confronted the king. See, the king was confronted by the Lord through that dream and with the interpretation given by Daniel. Now, but there is a conclusion to this. Let's take a look in Daniel chapter 3. Praise God. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 19. I'll begin with 19. It says, "Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with wrath, and his facial expression was altered toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He answered by giving orders to heat the furnace seven times more than was usually heated. And he commanded certain valiant warriors who were in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in order to cast them into the furnace of a blazing fire." Well, now what we have here is the conclusion to a relationship. Is that the four men would not bow, they would not conform to Nebuchadnezzar and to his particular world system. Men of God, trained, well established, choice, what have you, is that the world system was wanting to change them into another image. And because they would not allow themselves to be conformed into another image, is that the world says, "I'm going to get rid of you." And so this is what they were doing here, is that they were heating up the furnace and going to throw them on into the furnace. But so many times that you and I as believers is that we are caught up in circumstances, aren't we? I believe that every one of us can look back into our lives and say, this circumstance has come into my life, that circumstance has come into my life, and somehow or another we feel like we're victims of circumstances, caught up into circumstances. And we are caught up in circumstances. Let's face it. We don't call upon these things for ourselves necessarily. They come. And these are the circumstances of life. But listen, I got something that I can share with you that I believe that will cause us to know how to live this overcoming life that we have been hearing about. Is that we need men and women of faith, like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Is that they were men of faith. They had faith towards their God. Regardless of the circumstances of around them, regardless of captivity, regardless of reprogramming, regardless of enticements or whatever, is that they had faith. And listen, those four young men, they became successful within that system because of their faith towards God. Amen. God honored them. They were in the world, but they were not of the world. And they were successful. And God has not called us to be failures in this life. He's not called us to be the downtrodden and the walked over and all this kind of stuff because we're believers. He tells us you're the head, you're not the tail, you're on top, you're not beneath. You're winners, you're not losers, you're overcomers. God calls us overcomers, but we that are overcomers, sometimes we're the first ones to fall because we can't take the heat. Listen. Even though that we are caught up in circumstances, is that we must be a people, we must be a man and woman of God that will demonstrate our faith that even though that we are in the world, we are not of the world, and we can enjoy a success even within this system. And I believe that when we get a hold of this, is we're going to see more successful believers in the kingdom of God. I've heard testimonies at some of the meetings we have been to. Oh, I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, and I spoke in tongues, and I started doing this, and I started doing that. Instead of selling 30 cars, I now sell 300 cars, and I became the wealthiest car dealer in such and such a state. Well, you know, that can be so, or it doesn't necessarily be so. But sometimes we want to, somehow or another, we want to attribute to God for doing something in a world system way. But listen, we can determine that we can live within this world, but we're not going to be shaped by it. And there's a lot of stuff out there where you can be shaped by it. I'm not for abortion, but I see that the right to life movement has taken on a very ominous tone. Oh, God forbid. We become narrow-minded. I don't believe in abortion, but there is a higher way to take care of the situation. Every one of us, we need to know what God's purpose is for our life. And that's why I appreciate the prophetic word. The prophetic word that comes is it tells us. And we're talking about the true. We're not talking about the false. There's a lot of false stuff out there. But God has given us the ability to discern this stuff. And the true was here long before the false was. And God gives us a word to help shape our life. To know what the purpose of our life is. I have discovered, and perhaps you have too, I know that some of you have, if we know God, then we are able to speak life into the life of another person. I'll say that again. If you know God, then you are able to speak life into the life of another person with the truth of God's purpose. Does that sound complicated? And when this lady came and gave this revelation to me, she was speaking truth into my life. Hallelujah. Speaking truth into my life so I can have life more abundantly. You're not here to speak life out of me. You're to speak life into me. And you have that ability to speak life into me. God has given me that ability to speak life into you. So that I can be transformed, so I can be changed more and more on into His likeness and into His image.
Yes,
God forbid that we cultivate a self-image. Pride will cultivate a self-image. Nebuchadnezzar had a self-image, didn't he? And it was cultivated by pride. You read that story. Old Nebi had much pride. He was so prideful that he had gods, he had pictures of himself made that were supposed to fall down and worship. He didn't want to compete with a true God. Is that you just had to forget him and worship Nebi. But the thing is that when we let the pride of life come into our life, then we begin to intimidate others. And this is why the Holy Spirit of God is humbling us. Put down the pride of life. And I begin to see is that if there's pride in my life, then this pride can rise up and this pride will intimidate you. Are you with me? Is this too hard? See, pride is a very destructive thing because you're going to push your pride onto me. and try to conform me into something. You're no good, you know, this kind of thing. And this is what we see in the church so much today, is that leaders in the body of Christ, some honor God uses them, and he thinks he's the one, the only one that can bring around God's purpose on this earth. He's the one that has the wisdom. He's the one that has the power. We're coming to this place where we must learn how to honor God first. Don't bow to the system. Even though you serve in the system, don't bow to the system. I know the money system is all cattywampus and haywire, and all this kind of stuff. But that doesn't mean I'm not going to use the bank to put my check in. I'm still going to go to the bank and cash a check. If I get something to save, I'll put it in there to save. You know, I know all this. You know, they talk about the big computer in Belgium. You know, I've been hearing this for 20 years about this big computer, and I trust it's not the same old clunky one that they had 20 years ago. We'd be in bad shape, you know, or maybe it's a blessing. Maybe it is the old clunky one. Yeah. But regardless of the computer in Belgium, I'm going to serve God first.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
And, you know, we hear on the radio about this guy that says that, you know, you volunteer to pay income tax. Well, well, just try not to, and we'll see how much of a volunteer you are, you know. But, well, that may be true, but nevertheless, we still work within the system. But I don't have to be a part of it in that particular way. But the thing is like this revelation of shrink wrap, is that when we begin to take the heat, God intervenes. Isn't that right? And there are some of you that are listening to me here this morning, is that, boy, the heat is on. Boy, that fire is being turned up almost seven times hotter than what has ever been before for you. But listen, let the good times roll.
Amen.
Because God is going to intervene. God is intervening, isn't he?
Amen.
Because you're in the world, you're not of the world. You can work within the system, but you don't have to bow to the system. Let's learn how to enjoy the Christian life that God's given us. Because God will not intervene in my life until I'm willing to take the heat. And man, have we been taking the heat. Yes. You know, the world system is the same now as it was back in the days of Nebi. Things haven't changed a bit. So if you think there's something new going on under this earth, we're mistaken. And so the world is molded by the same spirit. The devil. He's been around a long time. He's been around longer than you. He's been around longer than me. And that even after I go into the ground, he's still going to be around. Right. And so, but I know how to take authority over him. And that's what we're learning here in these meetings. So don't bow to your flesh. Don't bow to the wiles of the devil. Don't bow to the pressures of the day. Don't bow to it. Take the heat and let God intervene. Get rid of those demons. Get rid of that guilt. Get rid of that fear. When the deliverance session comes, you need to get rid of something. Get there and get rid of it. Put down your pride. Get rid of it. That's what the people are here for. Even deliverers need deliverance. Sure. But listen, there's so much worldliness in the church that you can't tell the difference from the church and the world. You know, the spirit of entertainment has crept in such a big way. See, the world wants the church to become like it.
Amen.
And it's on its way. Oh, I belong to this Methodist church, and we got our bishop, and we got this beautiful building. Listen, worldly system is at work. You know that the world, even though you're a Christian, the world wants you to adopt its own value system. Abortion's okay. Homosexuality's okay. Yeah, we discovered now that there's the gene defect, and so, you know, all this kind of stuff. You know, you can pick it up in the paper and you can read it. And pretty soon our minds change, see? It's okay. It's okay to fornicate once in a while, you know. It's okay to cheat once or twice. But the thing is, I guess Scripture, well, we'll not do it this time around. Let's see, what worldliness means is becoming like the world. And every one of us is vulnerable to that. And that you know, the three young men in Daniel. I don't know where Daniel was at that time, but he's off somewhere. So there's only three men that were put in the furnace. But they faced the music. And they survived. That's the overcomer, isn't it?
Yeah.
And there's some of you that have pride and you got a poor self-image. And I pray that today that we will just come to a place and where we're wanting to allow the Holy Spirit of God to conform us more and more into His likeness and into His image. In Daniel chapter 3, verse 17, it says, "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and He will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But listen to this. But even if He does not," isn't that something? "Let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. And this is where we need to come. And every one of us be willing and have that desire to say, let it be known to you. I am not going to serve you. I'm not going to be intimidated by you. I'm not going to bow to you. I am in the world, but I am not of the world. And I am not going to worship your golden gods." Listen, how can we be these overcomers? We overcome by knowing God. I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ when I was 17, 18, or 19 years old. I don't know how old I was. But when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I was not an immediate overcomer. I can tell you that when I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I knew that I'd been forgiven of my sin, but I went right back out into the world and I did the same old thing that I was doing before. Maybe not as much, but as doing it. I did not know God. And so you may have your salvation, I trust all of you do, but do you know God? Are you convinced of His redemptive purpose in you? He redeemed me. I was bought with a price. Hallelujah. Jesus paid it all. He gave His life for me. He redeemed me. In other words, He took me out of the image of Adam, and now He's conforming me more and more into the image of His dear Son. That's His redemption.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And listen, even while we're in the process of God conforming us more and more into His likeness and image, we are being comforted by His love.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I praise God that even if we're in a time of trial and trouble and tribulation, and the whole world seems to be falling down around us, and we sometimes wonder where God is that do not be dismayed, is that He will comfort you with His love. Church, the Lord wants to restore life to each one of us, knowing that we, each one of us, have a destiny. And when we know that we have a destiny in this life, is that there's a confidence that comes to us. This is what we need, isn't it? You need confidence, sister. You need it. And God is giving you confidence. I was plagued with a sense of being inadequate for years. Not being able. Inadequate. Being spirit-filled, talking in tongues, this kind of thing. I still had a sense of inadequacy about me. But listen, the Lord makes us adequate. And when we know that we are adequate, there's a joy that comes to us. Came up here and I had fear. Glenn and Irma, they just zeroed in on it right away. Fear. And that fear was diminishing. You know, still is diminishing. Fear. The Lord gives us the Holy Spirit. He gives us wisdom. He gives us grace. He gives us His promises so that we can be strong, so we can be healthy. He wants to give us material blessing. He wants to give us financial blessings. 1 John chapter 3. And I've got two scriptures here and I'm finished. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. It says, "Beloved, Now we are children of God. Isn't that beautiful? We are. Not sweet by and by stuff. We are. Beloved, now we are children of God. And it has not appeared as yet what we shall be. We know that when he appears, we shall be what? Like him. Glory to God, the shrink wrap is working. Because we shall see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. 1 Corinthians 15, last scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 49. Yes, 49. And just as we have been born, and just as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Image. Image. Being conformed into his likeness and to his image. So let God do his work in you. Receive whatever he has for you. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. There's a young man that is here, and I think he's been helping to build a wall here. Young man? Yes, he's the one that has been helping build the wall here. Would you come up here, please? Someone has asked if we would minister to this young man, and that there was a confirmation because I had seen him, you know, elsewhere, and I just knew that the Lord had a word for him. And so it's nothing set up. I don't even know the man's name or any such thing as this. So what is your name?
Randy.
Randy, okay. Amen. Randy, the Lord has a word for you. And I'd like, Jane, if you'd come up and just pray. And let's just go before the Lord here for a few moments. I know dinner's ready, and but God is doing his work.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for the love you have for our brother in Christ. Lord, I know he's precious to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that which you have to say to him is just quicken in his heart and even in his mind that you love him,
mm-hmm,
and that you care about him. And, Father, that you know him in a way that no one else does.
Yes.
Yes, Father.
So, Lord, I pray that you'll encourage his heart, and that he'll receive this by your Spirit now in Jesus'
name. Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And the Spirit will say to you, Randy, that I love you with an everlasting love. And surely no one loves you more than I do. And it is an everlasting love, and it shall not diminish, and it shall not dwindle away, and it shall not perish. But the love that I have for you is everlasting. And my son, even as you were conceived, that you were conceived with the love of the Lord. And though men may not receive, you were conceived with the love of the Lord. And even as you were shaped and formed in the womb of your mother, that there was a struggle even within the womb, but the presence and the power and the love of the Lord intervened. And you are as a son of mine, that even though the enemy wanted to destroy you in the womb of your mother, I would not allow you to be wounded or to be put away, because you're destined to be a man of God.
Hallelujah.
And so, my son, even as you came forth out of the womb of your mother, that there was rejection that came upon you, but there was acceptance by the Lord. And you have lived in the framework of rejection, the framework of guilt, the framework of fear, the framework of failure. You've lived within this framework because the enemy has told you that you are no good and that you never amount to anything in this life. But my son, I say to you that you're a man who is precious in the eyes of the Lord. And you're not a failure, but you're a success. And my son, you've been running. And the enemy has come to you and has told you many lies. And there's been even that spirit of suicide that has come to you. And you thought even those times you to destroy yourself. But my son, even in that time and where that you were on that course of self-destruction, I personally intervened, and that what you had planned to do was not able to be accomplished because I came right before and I stopped the action. And so, my son, these are days and times of change for you. And there is a healing of the mind, a healing of the memories, and I come against that spirit of rejection in the name of Jesus. And you shall receive the love of the Lord Jesus Christ in that magnificent way. The enemy has told you lies about your own manhood. He's told you lies about your abilities. Don't believe them, because I've made you every bit whole. And my son, I brought you to this place, and it is like a place and a city of refuge to you. And do not let the enemy say that this is not for me. I must be onto other things. It's just as there was health and as there was healing and there was rest at the pool of Siloam. My son, this is your pool of Siloam. Let this be your pool of Siloam, my son, because you're going to be raised up. You are being raised up. And you shall be as a shepherd to the body of Christ in the days that are ahead, because you're anointed to serve the Lord your God. And you shall be a shepherd, even as a pastor, to the body of Christ in the days that are ahead. And so, my son, allow me to do this work within you. Forgive and repent. Forgive and repent. And those things that you ask me to forgive you for, I shall forgive and remember them no more. And my son, you're remembering things that I've already forgotten. And I will not remember those things that I've already dismissed. And so do not condemn yourself, but take authority over the wicked one and let the Spirit of the living Christ rule and reign in your life.
Hallelujah.
My son, you're at the pool. And it's a time of refreshing for you. And I shall provide for you. Open yourself up. Open yourself up to the pleasantness of the Lord. And the enemy has stopped your ears. And I command those ears to be as hearing ears that will hear the word of the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And I place my hands upon this heart, because there shall be a new abundance that is in this heart. It shall be an abundance of love. It shall be an abundance to do that which is right, not only in the eyes of God, but also in the eyes of people. And you shall be like a Samuel in the household of faith. You shall be like a Samuel in the kingdom of God. And so I shall call you Samuel from this day forth. And as I call you Samuel, you shall do the work of Samuel. And you shall be strengthened by my word day by day, because you shall spend much time with me. And so, my son, I say to you, are you ready for a new walk? Are you ready for fellowship? Are you ready to go on with the good things of God? Samuel, do you hear me, Samuel? Samuel, do you hear the voice of the Lord? Because the Lord is nigh unto you, and I am with you. My son, there are good things ahead, and I shall minister to you day by day. And that spirit of torment that has come to you for these many years, that it is gone.
Hallelujah.
And the tormentor shall try to torment you even in the nighttime. But don't accept the words of the tormentor, but accept the love of the deliverer.
Hallelujah.
And so, my son, days and times of change. And I'm pouring out an oil upon you, and I'm baptizing you with the oil of my love. And that oil being poured out from the top of your head right down to the soles of your feet, anointed for service within the kingdom of God. Samuel, Samuel, hear me and know that I am God and I love you, saith the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. God bless you.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise God. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Sister, would you just stand up, please? Mm-hmm. And as the Lord will say to my daughter, that the trumpet sound has come, and you have heard the call of the Lord. And you're a woman that desires to do what is right in the eyes of the Lord so that you may find that favor in the eyes of the Lord. And my daughter, I say to you is that I pour out my favor upon you and you receive my favor this very day. That not only have you found favor in the eyes of the Lord, but you shall also find favor in the eyes of my people. And you have sought favor from people, but people have not returned favor. But I give you that servant's heart, and I give you that willing spirit, and you shall be that woman that shall purpose in her heart and in her life to let the joy of the Lord be her strength. And there is change that is coming in your own life. And this circumstance that seems to surround you, this circumstance that seems to have coiled itself about you, is that the strength of the serpent that has coiled itself about you has lost its strength. And it shall fall to your feet and slide away. And so, my daughter, you're free.
Hallelujah.
You're free. And now you shall worship the Lord. And you shall recognize that your Lord and your God has intervened in your behalf. And as the enemy has attempted to take away and squeeze away your strength, that even this day is that the weakness that you have felt in your life and in your body, even for these last 6 weeks, is that I shall restore that strength to you beginning today, and you shall be restored. And the situation that you thought was impossible to be resolved, it shall be resolved, and greater shall the blessings be, saith the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. God bless you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.